This morning, we find ourselves at the last step on the path of discipleship. We find ourselves in verse 9 of chapter 5 in the Gospel of Matthew. And ultimately, I open up with the words of Jonathan Wesley. Is it well with your soul? Many times, Jonathan Wesley, when he would open up a prayer gathering or he would open up a ministry gathering, he would ask that statement and question. He would say, is it well with your soul? And so I ask you and I ask myself, is it well with your soul? Really what Jonathan Wesley was asking was, is there peace in your soul? Is there peace in your heart? Is there peace abiding in your very being? One of the reasons I believe that he asked that question is because this morning we are going to be invited to be part of what God's mission into this world is. And it's a peacemaking mission. And we're going to be invited to take part in that in many different ways. And if it's not right or if it's not well with our soul, then how can we ever be part of bringing peace to a world that has very little peace? The world that we live in is indeed a world that's been affected by wars and fighting since the beginning of time. In 1968, one major newspaper estimated that the world has experienced 14,553 known wars since 36 years before Christ. Since 1945, there have been over 70 wars and many more outbreaks of violence throughout the entire world. Middle East peace talks. I grew up during high school and even in my college years, and I can remember the times that United States presidents would invite the leaders of the Middle East countries over here to the States for one reason, to talk peace. And yet, inevitably, it always seems like those talks break down again and again and again and again. And what we find, even in our day this morning, I read a news article about the gathering of warships over in that area of the world. And I wonder, what is it going to take? What is it going to take to truly bring peace? If you have your Bibles, and I certainly hope you've brought them, turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. If you're utilizing the Pew Bible, you'll find this chapter on page 1501. As you're turning there, I'll just share this with you. If it's not well with our soul, remember this, that life begets life. Health begets health. Peace begets peace. Hear that. If it's not well with our soul, we are going to produce in others what is going on deep within our being. So it's vitally important, as we look at this invitation from Jesus to take part in his mission, in his ministry, into this world, and yes, as we sung the song, there are greater things that have to be done. There are greater things that God wants to do here in the village of Gibsonburg. There are greater things that God wants to do. And may it start with you and with me. And may it start with it being well with our soul. Beginning in verse 1, seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons and daughters of God. As we have found the last couple weeks, that we have found that this is the last step in our moving out into this world and interacting with this world that we live in. Before we get into really what this ministry is and this mission that God has embarked upon when he sent Jesus into this world to die on a cross for your sins, my mistakes, my sins and your mistakes, and so that we could have a reunion or a reuniting with a holy God, let's look at peace. It's important that we understand, if we're called to be peacemakers, that we understand what we are called to make. If we don't understand what peace is and a true biblical portrait of peace, then we'll never understand exactly what God is inviting us to partake into. We have to go all the way back to the book of Genesis, in the Garden of Eden. The biblical word shalom, it's a Hebrew word that means peace, and it carries the connotation of God restoring the created order back to the original way that things were intended to be. Now, in the Garden of Eden, you had several qualifications, or you had several elements going on. One of the elements was that men and women, children, all the people that were in the Garden of Eden, and yes, I understand it was only Adam and Eve, but God's intent of his purpose was that people would commune with him in an unhindered, unbroken fellowship with him. There was nothing that would come in between people and a holy God, people and a perfect God. Not only that, but you had all of the animals living in perfect tranquility and perfect harmony, and there was none of this stuff going on that we have today. And so at Genesis, the Garden of Eden, prior to the fall, you had a lion who was still a lion with the lamb who was still a lamb. You had the characteristics of both. So shalom means peace. It means completeness and soundness and welfare. And so the question, is it well with our soul? Is our soul complete? Is it sound? Is there a welfare deep within our soul? If not, then we need to go back and we need to revisit these paths to discipleship and these steps to discipleship in Christ Jesus. If it's not well with our soul, maybe we need to come face to face with our own gravity of our own sinfulness, and we need to mourn and receive God's comfort. We need to turn towards the Lord and seek after his righteousness. Maybe we need to keep on seeking to be meek and allowing Christ to flow through us. And maybe, just maybe, we need to be more merciful. And maybe we need to allow God to flow his purity deep within our hearts and souls. And then we can partake in this invitation. Something funny happened in Genesis 3. It wasn't funny at all, yet it was the fall. And sin entered in, and sin came into this world, and it interrupted this peace, this shalom, this tranquil environment, this environment where God yearned to commune with you and me. God yearned to interact with you and I in an unbroken relationship. And in an act of mercy, God ushered Adam and Eve out of the garden. And why do I say mercy? Because had they eaten from the tree of everlasting life, you and I would live in this state of being for the ever and ever and ever. And God in his mercy said, no, I've got something better for people. And so Jesus comes to the scene and God ushers his own son and he says, hey, you know what? You go. You offer them a way out. And that's exactly what God has. The blessedness of reflecting Christ's work. So what is this work of Christ? The work of Christ in Isaiah 9, verse 6, we are told, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Romans 5, we are told, while we were enemies, you see, when sin took place and sin happened, it alienated and separated us from a fellowship with God. And you and I, we were in desperate need because it was not well with our soul. We're in desperate need of a way out. We're in desperate need of something to rectify the situation. You and I were enemies, yet Jesus reconciled you and I to God by the death of him. Much more, now that we are reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Also in Romans 5, we're told, therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus has come so that we might have peace. Adam and Eve, they suffered with the storms, the torment, things that they never experienced before. The tranquility was gone. The inner turmoil took place. The relational strife with Cain and Abel. The mental anguish, the lack of confidence, the decreased unity, the increased insecurity, and the pain. And that's the world we live in. It's a world of inner turmoil, relational strife, mental anguish, very low confidence, decreased unity, an increase in insecurity, and it's a world of pain. And remember, life begets life. Health begets health. Peace begets peace. So friends, the first question, if we are willing to accept Jesus' invitation to partake in the ministry that he wants you and I to partake in, we need to answer the question right here and right now, is it well with our soul? Because what is in our soul is going to beget something else in somebody else. And if there's inner turmoil in our soul, it's going to beget inner turmoil in others. If there's relational strife in our soul, it's going to beget relational strife. And so friends, Jesus, he offers you and I this way of saying, hey, it may not be well with my soul, but Jesus, I need you to make it well with my soul. The biblical Greek word eirene carries the notion of inner tranquility. And so we live in a time where, yes, the Garden of Eden is gone, but yet Jesus has given us a way to experience God's peace in the here and now. And in the future, when Jesus returns, he's going to set up his earthly kingdom, and it will be a 1,000-year reign of peace. So you and I live in this time where, yes, we can still experience God's peace, and yes, he has invited us to become peacemakers in this world if we allow him to first work his peace in us. Because what is in us will be promoted in others. So we find ourselves in verse 9, blessedness. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons and daughters of God. So exactly what is this nature of being a peacemaker? I want us to look at this a little bit and what it entails. Jesus was the first peacemaker. He was the one who looked at two enemies, a holy God and a fallen people, and he said, hey, I can come together and come in between these two, and I can bring them together, and I can bring them peace. I can bring reconciliation. Being a peacemaker is being a reconciler. It's being a mediator. It's a person who stands in between two opposing parties. And as I watched the U.S. presidents over years ago and over time and time again seek to be the reconciliation or the agent of reconciliation between the Middle East leaders, and yet it failed. Friends, Jesus didn't fail. Jesus didn't fail. There's peace. There's peace for you and there's peace for me if we are willing, if we open ourselves and our lives up to it. This mission or ministry of peacemaking is seeking to bring things back to God's created order, to partake in what God wants to do. Being a peacemaker can often bring emotional peace to the other individuals who are suffering from emotional anguish, bringing spiritual peace, sharing the gospel, bringing relational peace, bringing a sacrificial, selfless peace to a situation where ultimately it seems all is lost. Bring compassionate, wisdom-filled peace. There's a qualification. You see, as we have learned, we've seen that blessed are the poor in spirit, where we have to come face-to-face with acknowledging our inability to even offer anything for our own salvation. Blessed are those who mourn. We have to come face to face with our own sinfulness and acknowledge that how far short we have fallen of a holy God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We have to understand that we have to submit our will to God's will. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We have to acknowledge and turn towards God. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We have to receive and give out the mercy that you and I have been given. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We need to allow God to pour his purity in our lives so that we can see where God is working. The interesting thing here for me is that Jesus isn't asking us to do anything he didn't do. You see, becoming poor in spirit cost Jesus heaven. Jesus stepped out of heaven and entered this world. Jesus came into this world, and he said, hey, I'm leaving heaven for your benefit. Mourning cost Jesus his comfort because he felt your pain. He felt my pain. He felt everything in this life and all the burdens that we are overthrown with many times in this world. Becoming meek cost Jesus his power. He had to forfeit his power and say, it's not me, it's God's will that I want to do. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness cost Jesus his will, his choice. It's not his choice. It was God's choice. And being merciful cost Jesus his life. Being pure cost him his selfishness in his humanity. So friends, I'm not going to tell you this is an easy task. I'm not going to tell you it's not costly. This is a very costly endeavor. But I'm here to tell you that not only is it a costly endeavor, but it's a very blessed endeavor. It is a blessed thing that God would look at you and me and he would say, hey, come and take part in what I want to do in this world. Come and partner with me so that in the village of Gibbsonburg, you and I can work together. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying to you and I today, this morning, here and now. But we need to make terms with what's going on inside of us. If there's pain, come to the healer of that pain. If there's anguish, come to the one who says, I know your burden. If there's heartache, come to the one, Jesus, who feels your heartache. And then, friends, and then, you and I will be able to really accept that true invitation of the living Lord, Jesus Christ, your Lord and my Savior, and your Savior and my Lord, and we will be able to partner with him because that's the very invitation. You see, from the beginning of time, God's will and God's heart and his desire has been that he would be able to be in fellowship with you and me. That boggles my mind. I don't understand it. I don't understand why. When I know who I am and I understand what kind of person I can be, it does not make any sense. And yet the love made manifest in Christ Jesus, mercy incarnate, and peace, the Prince of Peace. And he looks at you, and he looks at me, and he says, I love you enough. I want to be a part of your life. Now, friends, he has said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. The choice is ours. We can choose to be a peacemaker, or we can choose to stand on the other side of peace. And if we choose to be a peacemaker, it will cost us a lot of things. It will cost us to stand on truth. It will cost us sometimes our choices. It will cost us our life. It will cost us our choices, our will. It will cost us our desires. It can even cost us everything that we would want from this life. But you know what blessed is? Blessed is honored. Blessed is highly valued. Blessed is highly chosen. Blessed means to be esteemed. And so when God says, blessed are the peacemakers, he is saying, if you choose this path with him today, here and now, if you choose to partner with Jesus and become a peacemaker, he is saying, I highly esteem you, I honor you, I exalt you and place you above here, because when you choose to enter into this peacemaking effort and endeavor, you are choosing to reflect the very mission, the very ministry of reconciliation that Jesus came here on this earth to do, and namely to make peace with a fallen people, a failing people, a people who fell so short that only God could bring peace back to them. So friends, I don't know about you, but I'm willing to pay that cost. I'm willing to pay what it is that God is asking us to pay, to be a partner with him into this fallen world. Many of us will not have to pay the cost that Jesus paid, laying down his life. But many of us will have to pay the cost of laying down our selfish desires. Many of us will have to pay the cost of making sure that our relationship with God is shored up, that our relationship with God is in such a state that we are solid on foundation, standing on truth. We are actively responding to Christ. We are willingly allowing Him to lead us and guide us and show us the way, ultimately so that we reflect the peace working activities of Christ. Now, I'm not saying that we can make peace with every person. We're told in Romans 12:18, it says, if possible, as far as it is depends upon you, live peaceable with all. Just as God can't make peace with all people on this earth, because all people will not choose God. And that's a sad thing. Because since all people won't choose Him, He can't make peace with them. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus' sacrifice and Jesus' life and death and resurrection is null and void. What it means is that they have chosen not to make peace. I have individuals in my own life that there is nothing that I can do to make peace with them, because the fact of the matter is that they choose to be opposing peace. But that doesn't alleviate me or you from seeking to be a peacemaker. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceable with all. So what are we to do? First, we need to check our own souls. We need to check our own hearts. We need to make sure that what is coming out of us is a sense of peace, a sense of tranquility, a sense of what God is doing inside of us. Secondly, we need to respond to the invitation. And I don't mean an invitation up here. I'm talking about a universal invitation. The universal invitation that Jesus Christ, He Himself said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be children of God. If we say yes to God, we need to understand that sometimes we say no to our own desires, our own choices, our own wills, our own wants, our own yearnings. But by saying yes to God, we are saying yes to the blessing of Christ Jesus, yes to the filling of Christ Jesus, yes to the purpose of God in this world, yes to the fulfillment of what God wants from you and what He wants for you. Friends, God wants to bless us all. The problem is that sometimes we enforce our own selfish desires, and God says, hey, you will be blessed if you respond to the invitation. So check your heart, check your soul. Is it well with your soul? If it's not, start there. Respond to the invitation. And then be about making peace. First in your families. First with your close friends. First with those individuals that are closest to you. And then with your friends and colleagues and those individuals that are outer on the outer circle. And then to the strangers. Those you do not even know. Because I believe peace starts in us and it moves out. And it goes out and out and out and out and out. And many times we want to start out here. And God says, no, start here. Right here. So check your heart. Respond to the invitation. And then be about peacemaking. Let us pray. Father God, we come to You, Lord, to just thank You for this invitation. And Lord, as we seek to follow You, as we seek to partake in Your ministry, the ministry that You have invited us to take part in, to share Your love, to share Your peace, may You give us the courage to face what's going on deep within our souls. May You give us the strength to respond to You. And say, Jesus, You know me better than I know myself. You know what's going on inside of me. You understand me because You knit me together in my mother's womb. You created me even before the worlds were created. You knew my character traits and my flaws and my habits and all the difficulties that I struggle with. And yet, Lord, You said You loved me and You loved us. So work in our hearts, we pray. Give us Your strength and Your courage to respond to Your invitation, the invitation to be peacemakers, the invitation to partner with You, the invitation to get busy with what You want to do. And may it start first with us in our homes. May it start first with us, with our friends. May it start with us laying down our own selfish desires and wants yielding to another's wishes, yielding to another's desires, if need be. And Father, may we be busy sharing the gospel of peace. Your word says how blessed are the shoes and the feet that bring the good tidings and the gospel of peace. May those shoes and may those feet be our feet. May Trinity United Methodist Church be truly a church full of peacemakers, a church full of those who yearn to honor you by yielding to you first. May we be a church full of individuals partaking in your ministry. And so, Lord, we will thank you. We'll thank you and we'll praise you. And we thank you above all for your blessing, for the blessing that you said you would honor us, as unbelievable as that is. We just humbly bow before you and we give you our hearts and souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.